Man, all this talk about Christmas and food and stuff reminds me of this story I heard about this lady. We'll call her Jane. Jane goes down to Thrifty Foods. It's like Christmas Eve, and she's forgot to buy her Christmas turkey. And she's like, heads straight for the meat department. She's rifling through, you know, those bins where they keep all the turkeys. She's trying to find them, and there's just all these tiny little turkeys. And she's like, I got a huge family I got to feed. Like, this is not going to do. She's desperately, like, searching the store, trying to find, going through the bin, no turkeys. She finally finds this young guy that's working there. And she's like, excuse me, sir. I see these are turkeys. Do they get any bigger than this? He's like, ma'am, they're all dead. Some of you will get it in a couple minutes. But, you know, we celebrate Christmas, and Christmas is that season where we love it because in a lot of cases, you know, it's a time just, it's an excuse to eat way more than we should, you know. It's a good excuse to get together with friends, with family, or to maybe, you know, treat ourselves or treat others with some gifts and things like that. It's exciting. I love Christmas, but I also know that there's a reality for a lot of people that Christmas can also be a tough time. That Christmas brings with it just this memory of conflict or just a reminder that certain relationships in life aren't what they should be. I think of this story when I was a kid, this one Christmas, and my brother, it's funny you mentioned tobogganing, Daniel, because I'm from Alberta. And so we get lots of snow in Alberta, and tobogganing is like a favorite pastime of ours. And my brother, for Christmas this one year, he got what was like the Ferrari of toboggans, called a GT Snow Racer. Anyone remember those? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. So my brother gets a GT. I don't know why I didn't get one, but somehow my brother scored one. And so we actually lived like right across the street from a toboggan hill. And so we're like, dude, we got to test this thing out. So we like ditch mom to be working on Christmas dinner. And me and my brothers all go out to the toboggan hill. My brother takes her down and she's just flying down the hill the first couple times. And he's just like, hey, guys, you see that jump over there? I think I'm going to hit it, bro. I'm like, yeah, do it. And so he goes and he lines it all up and he rips down the hill, flies off the jump. And completely wipes out. It was just terrible, just shipwreck everywhere. And he's like, you know, he's like lying on the ground, like he's like in pain. And we're kind of like, man, just get up, whatever. And he's just kind of like, you know, embellishing it a little bit, you know. And there was another neighborhood kid on the hill that day. And he also had a GT snow racer. Now, you know the GTs, how they got like the one ski that like sticks out in front? Yeah. Those things can be dangerous. So this guy goes flying down the hill behind my brother, not even noticing that he's like right on the other side of the jump. And my brother's still lying there. He goes down the hill, flies off the jump, nails it, sticks the landing, and boom, crashes right into the back of my brother's head. Can you say blood and pain? Man, it was terrible. My brother's crying and just like there's blood everywhere. And we're like, oh no, what are we gonna do? And then like of course there's this guy over here who's like, there's like three of you and one of me. And we're like, dude, we're gonna pound you. And he like runs away. And we're just like, luckily my family, our house actually backed out onto a fire hall. And they were on shift, so we just took him there, he got stitched up, there's no problem. You know? But for a lot of us, we have Christmas memories, maybe not quite as traumatic as that, but we have Christmas memories maybe where things didn't go as smoothly as we had hoped, where relational tensions kind of built around Christmas. You know, maybe you didn't get that gift that you really wanted on Christmas, and so it's like, you know, like I don't know about you, but for my mom, like if I don't get her what she wants, it's like, just get mom what she wants, just do it. You know, maybe that's you. Maybe it's an innocent. It all started out as an innocent game of Settlers of Catan. You know, and you laugh because you know where that one goes. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I can't even play Dutch Blitz with my family anymore. My sister-in-laws are savage. Like there's like all of a sudden they're like swearing at me and stuff. I'm like, what did I do? You know. Like, it's just bad, and Christmas can sometimes bring out the best, but also the worst in us, right? And maybe there it just these kind of little tensions lead to like bigger things, like bigger fights. You know, maybe there's it's just a reminder of broken families, loved ones who we wish could be there that couldn't. And that's the reality for some of us for Christmas. And I've been reminded as I've been going through the Christmas story this year that the first Christmas story was not without its own relational tensions and conflict. If you're just kind of catching up to speed with us, we've been in this Discover Christmas series for a couple weeks now. In the first week, we would have heard the story of this young girl named Mary. She's just this teenage girl. She's engaged to this guy named Joseph. And all of a sudden, she's just going about her day one day, and this angel named Gabriel shows up out of the blue and is like, hey, guess what? You're going to have a baby. And that baby is going to be the savior of the world. And Mary's like, well, like, how's that going to happen? Like, me and my guy friend over there, like, we haven't actually, like, you know, practiced. We haven't, like, made a baby, you know? We haven't tried or anything like that. And the angel's like, well, you know, that's okay. That's okay. God's going to do it. The Holy Spirit's just going to, like, boop, drop that little baby in you, and you're going to conceive and give birth to the savior of the world. Sound good? And she's kind of like, you know what, I don't really get this. I don't understand how this is going to work. But yeah, I mean, if that's what God wants, I am his willing servant. And at the end of that first week, we kind of see that there's this kind of hesitation and this reservation. But if you were here last week, you would know that from there, we see that Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, who's also pregnant. And we know that through that, there's this sense of anticipation and celebration that comes because she goes to see Elizabeth. And, you know, Elizabeth is pregnant with the guy who's eventually going to become John the Baptist. And Elizabeth is just like, she gets hyped. She's just like, Mary, blessed are you among all women. You are carrying like the savior of the world. This is amazing. This is good news. And so we left there last week, where Mary's hanging out with Elizabeth. But there's one key character in the story that we haven't really talked about yet. Joseph, right? Like, Mary has gone through all this stuff, and yet she still has yet to tell Joseph. That's a pretty key element to the story, don't you think? I mean, if she's going to raise the Savior of the world, she ain't going to do it as a single parent. She wants to do it with her husband, Joseph. And so she's been spending about 3 months at Elizabeth's house, if you remember from the last story we shared last week. So 3 months. She's been pregnant for 3 months. Now, like, I'm not a lady. I've never been pregnant. But, like, correct me if I'm wrong, ladies. 3 months, that's a pretty long time. That's like a whole trimester, right? Yeah. So, I mean, unless you're one of those skinny girls where it's like you get pregnant and no one knows unless you turn to the side and this is like, boop. Like, let's just say that Mary is an average girl that is starting to show. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Do you start showing after first time? I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a lady. The point is, it's only a matter of time before she is going to be showing. The clock is ticking. And she has to tell Joseph. And it's going to get a little tense, I think. Because here's the thing. Like I said, her and Joseph have not, I'm just going to say it, her and Joseph have not had sex yet, okay? Like, they're engaged to be wed, but they haven't consummated their marriage. And I say that because this is actually a very important component of the story. And we sometimes try to dodge it because it's like, oh, we don't say the S word in church. But we have to just park it here for a second, folks. Because here's the thing. Like, I know that our culture nowadays does not treat sex with the utmost respect. I know that for a lot of young people, like, that's a foregone conclusion before they even walk down the aisle. But back in the day, the way that God created it is that sex was intended to be like the ultimate, the pinnacle moment when you committed to each other in marriage You went through this engagement phase, and you went through this marriage. Sex was literally the consummation. That's when you knew that it was official. It was like the ultimate like oneness of a man and a woman. And, of course, back then, no birth control. So the expectation was that hopefully through that, eventually or soon, you'd become pregnant. So Mary is already pregnant. She's already pregnant, but she's not married. She's betrothed, as the Bible would say. By the way, we're going to read in just a second how it says that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. That was actually like a legally binding contract. It wasn't like the marriage contract that we would have today. The betrothment, the engagement was a legally binding contract, wherein if you broke it, Old Testament law would say that if a man was found to be with a woman who was betrothed to another man, they could actually be stoned to death. Wow. So this is what Mary's facing here, guys. She hasn't told Joseph yet, and for good reason, because she's trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to break this news to my husband and come out on the other side alive? So we don't know exactly how that conversation goes, but how do you broach that subject? Like, there's no easy way to say that. So, Joseph, I know I've been gone for a while, and I'm pregnant. And Joseph's like, well, what do you mean? You're pregnant. Well, it's not what it seems. Like, I had this visit from an angel named Gabriel, and it was just this beautiful moment, this ethereal haze and everything. And all of a sudden, the angel said I was going to be pregnant, but don't worry, it's the Holy Spirit. He just dropped this baby in my stomach, and that's it. Like, how do you do that? How, if you're Mary, like, how do you break that news to your husband-to-be? I don't know. But we see in Matthew chapter 1, just kind of a quick paraphrase of how this story is going. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and it says this. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So we don't know how the conversation went. But here's what I do know. Joseph ain't having it. Joseph does not believe her. Mary might be like, you know, Joseph, I promise. It was the Holy Spirit. He got me pregnant. Well, who is this Holy Spirit guy so I can go and pound him? You know, like Joseph doesn't understand. Joseph's not buying it. And so he's like, well, it's time to end this thing. He's completely written off the relationship. It's over. He's going to divorce her. We've spent a lot of time on Mary in the last couple weeks, but let's take a moment and focus on Joseph. Imagine how Joseph felt in this moment. Like, maybe some of us can relate. Unfortunately, there's probably some people in the room that have gone through infidelity in their life. But think about the feelings that come along with that. The feeling of embarrassment. Like, all of a sudden, like, oh, my wife's pregnant. Like, that's kind of weird and awkward. Like, what are my friends? What are my parents? What's everyone going to think about me? What think about the anger and the jealousy that comes out of that. Just like, I'm going to kill that guy. Like, what did he do? Think about the sadness. Just like, this woman that Joseph is willing to, he wants to spend his entire life with her. He's committed legally to marry her. And all of a sudden, there's this major audible that's been thrown. Think about the feelings of inadequacy there. Where it's like, man, like, am I not enough? Like obviously my wife's been like sleeping around or something. But I'm not enough to satisfy her or to keep her happy. I'm not worth waiting for. There's a lot of hurt that would have been in Joseph's heart towards Mary. And he's like, you know what? I'm ending it. I'm just writing off this relationship. I'm just going to divorce her. For a lot of us in the room today, you may have some hurt in your life. You may have some of these very feelings that we just talked about. But we all have these relationships that we go through. And along Christmas, It just seems to expose those relationships, because while everyone's over here having their nice family dinner and posting it all on their Instagram and Facebook and everything, you're over here sitting there because it's like, okay, there's still that tension between me and mom and dad that I can't figure out. There's something between me and my brother or a friend or a spouse or kids or whatever have you. Or maybe it's a best friend where you guys just had like a major fight. And now it's coming to Christmas and you're like, well, I guess I don't have to buy them a gift now. Oh, that's awesome. But then there's still that relationship that's just been completely destroyed and defiled as we head into this season that's supposed to be so full of hope and joy and peace and love. But it ain't there. How do you handle yourself when these relationships kind of break apart like that? You don't have to answer, don't worry. I'm curious, how would you handle yourself? How are you handling yourself as you navigate these relational conflicts? Because here's one thing that I've really noticed as I read this story this week. If you look in the verse, it says that Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to put his wife to shame, decided he's just going to divorce her quietly. As we already shared, Joseph was well within his rights to drag this woman through the mud. He's going to suffer some embarrassment through this. Everyone's going to be like, yo, Joseph, get a load of Mary. She's put on some pounds. I think she's pregnant. Is it yours? No. Whoa, what? What's your girl doing behind your back, man? Like, think about that. His reputation is going to take a huge hit, and he has every right to just drag Mary along through the mud with him. In fact, he could drag her before the priests and have her stoned to death. But Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to put his wife to shame, decided, I'm just going to do this quietly. There's already been enough damage done. I kind of think that God strategically handpicked Joseph for this role in Jesus' life for reasons such as this. You got to think, God sending his son, Jesus, to earth in human form. He's going to grow up as a baby, as a young man. And he's going to need a dad in his life. He's going to need a role model in his life of what it means to live justly, to walk honorably, to honor women, to work hard. He needs a godly example. And God knew that in this first of many tests in Joseph's life, of what it was going to mean to be a father to the Savior of the world, that he was going to handle himself honorably. I'm curious, how do you handle yourself when conflict comes in life? Do you handle yourself honorably? Or do you take every opportunity you can to backstab that person, to talk trash about them when they're not around, to drag their reputation through the mud because you're hurt and you feel some sense of ownership to it? How do you handle yourself when you're willing to just write off those relationships in life? So as Joseph's kind of contemplating these things, as he's just like, man, I just got to end this. There's this moment. And we pick it up in verse 20. It says, but. You know, something good is coming when the Bible throws in a but. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And it wasn't just the pizza talking, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wow. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And that prophet, his name was Isaiah. This prophecy that had been spoken hundreds of years previous, it said this: behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Powerful. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not. You know what that means? He knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph just has this incredible moment. He's sleeping one night, and God shows up. As a side note, God cares about marriage. This marriage that is actually going to be like on display for the world to see as Jesus' parents, God's like, man, this is not happening on my watch. I'm going to intervene, and I'm going to go speak to Joseph through an angel. And this angel shows up in Joseph's dream, and he says, hey, it's all good. That which is in your wife hasn't been conceived from some other dude. Don't worry about it, Joseph. It's me. It was the Holy Spirit. She's not crazy. Can you imagine the sigh of relief Joseph may have had in that dream? Just like, oh, Mary's not a loony. Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. But bigger than that, you gotta think that as a Jewish man, from the line of David, Joseph has probably heard these prophecies before that spoke for years and years about this Savior of the world who was going to come, who's going to be called God with us, Emmanuel. And in this moment, this angel is calling out that in his life. It's like, Joseph, you remember all those years, all those Sunday school lessons you had where you heard about this Savior of the world? Yeah. So not only is Mary pregnant, but that's who she's pregnant with. Whoa! And Joseph, you're going to be the dad. Oh, really? Suddenly, I kind of wish Mary was a little crazy. Okay, can you imagine? I mean, I'm not a parent, but I know the pressures that parents go through these days. You know, like, you're just like, oh, am I doing this right? Like, is my kid going to grow up and just be like a crazy child and go to prison? I don't know. You know, like, at best, your kid's going to grow up and be like a doctor or something. Like, something awesome like that. We're talking about the Savior of the world here. Can you imagine the pressure that this guy's going to feel? Like, oh, man, should I have really disciplined Jesus like that? Oh, like, should I have fed him like that? Like, should we really have gone to McDonald's for burgers? I don't, you know. Just kidding. They didn't have McDonald's back then. Don't worry about it. But can you imagine that all these thoughts are going through his head? And so while there's still like this peace, I'm sure, that kind of rested on Joseph, there's still all these unanswered questions. Okay, angel, well, you're telling me like this is a good thing. This is of God. Obviously, great. But what about the what ifs? You know, like, don't forget, Joseph takes Mary. There's still about 6 months left of this pregnancy. She's gonna start showing if she hasn't already. And people are gonna start to ask questions. Parents are gonna start to ask, so Joseph, see, you guys are pregnant. Got something you wanna confess? He's going to be like, Mom and Dad, well, it's the Holy Spirit. How are you going to explain that one away? It's just not going to happen. You got to understand that Joseph and Mary still have quite the journey ahead. And it doesn't just end when Jesus is born. Imagine, like, all the, you know how kids can just be so mean in, like, kindergarten? You're like, what happened to you? My sweet little boy, right? Like, can you imagine like some of the playground bullying that may have happened, where kids are just like, oh, there goes Joseph, the son of Joseph. Sorry, there goes Jesus, the son of Joseph. Like this isn't the end of all struggle, just because Joseph's like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna take Mary as my wife. There's a long journey ahead. But the beautiful thing is that they're carrying the responsibility of raising Jesus. We just saw the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. They're not alone. That angelic visitation just proves it. It's incredible. And so Joseph still has to take that step of obedience and to take his wife, Mary. It's a beautiful, beautiful story of reconciliation. It's like the Hallmark Christmas movie ending where Joseph takes Mary and then they go and have baby Jesus and they're like the perfect little Instagram family. It's the ending that we all hope for. It's beautiful. It's like on Home Alone where there's that creepy old dude with the shovel and the clunky boots. And then at the end, like he's reunited with his daughter and their family. And then he looks at Kevin and it's just like, right? You know that moment? It's the ending that we all hope for. It's like there's this relationship between Joseph and Mary. And we see things from a different angle because we see things from the bird's eye view, seeing the story from like, we're seeing it 2,000 years later. But imagine being in that moment thinking, man, like, I think the devil was trying to break those two apart. He's trying to wreck that relationship so that Jesus wouldn't be the Savior of the world. But that relationship which the devil tried so hard to defile, God comes in and he reconciles. It's a beautiful thing. And that's the beauty of Christmas. That's one of the beautiful things about Christmas. Mary's on this journey from hesitation and reservation to anticipation and then celebration. And then she hits this slight moment of conflict, which turns into reconciliation. It's beautiful. And we love the Christmas story, not just because of this, but we love Christmas because it also points to Easter. We know that Jesus grows up to become a man, and Easter is where we remember that as a man, as a perfect man, he gives up his life and dies for us. As a sacrifice for our sins so that we can be forgiven. We love that part. We love that part because once again, this relationship between us and God, the world and God, this relationship that had been so destroyed for years and centuries, this relationship that the devil tried to defile, once again, through Jesus, God reconciles. A powerful thing. Somebody say amen. Come on. This is exciting stuff. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting a little excited. And we love Christmas because it points to these things. It gives you the warm fuzzies and the feels. It's awesome. But yet, we can believe it happened 2,000 years ago between Joseph and Mary. We can read about it in Scripture and receive this forgiveness from God for our own sin. But yet, sometimes there's like this block that happens when someone has wronged us. Or when we know that we've wronged someone, but we're just kind of like, you know what? They had it coming. And there's this conflict in our life. And somehow there's this block that we just can't get past. We can't forgive. Or we can't come up with the humility to go and just confess, you know, I wronged you. I'm sorry. What is it about that? I don't understand. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says this. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So it's not only, I love this. Because it's like, okay, through Christ, through Jesus dying on the cross, God has made us right with him. He reconciled that relationship. Like we just said, the relationship between the world and God that the devil tried to get in there and defile, God reconciled. He threw Christ in the gap and reconciled us to him. But now, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation too. He's modeled it so that we can go and live it, so that we can duplicate that. But sometimes we just have a real hard time. I'm going to invite the band to come on up. Some of us have probably been holding on to some grudges and hurts in the room for years. And I don't say these things to belittle those hurts, those wounds. Because some of them go really deep. And I don't know your story. So I don't know what's been said, what's been done. But what I do know is that we serve a God of reconciliation. And that he wants those relationships to be whole. That he wants your friendships, your relationships with your families, with your spouse, or whoever have you. He wants those things to be whole. And could it be that there might be some people in the room today that would say, well, that all sounds great, but you know what? Like, easy enough for Joseph, right? Like, he's having a nice snooze, and all of a sudden an angel shows up and tells him it's going to be okay, and like kind of like clears it all up for him. If only I could just have such an encounter with God, then maybe I would be okay letting this go. Could it be that this morning is such a moment? Could it be that God ordained your steps up to this moment, that you would come here and maybe I'm your angelic visitation? I'm just joking, obviously. But really, could it be that today is the day? You've been hurting and you've been seething and you've been angry and sad and depressed for so long. But could today be the day where God just comes and gives you the grace to let it all go? Could it be? Because he wants to. He wants to help you. He's not asking you to walk through these tough times on your own. He reconciled us to himself so that he could walk closer with us, so that he could help us through these times. You know, this Thursday, Bernine and I, we're going to drive back to Alberta where we grew up. Maybe I'll take a GT Snow Racer for a little rip while I'm back. But we're going back, and we're going to be, both of our families are back there. And if this would have happened about 3 months ago, it would be a different story for us. We actually went through some really tough times with my family this year. And if I'm being honest, some of that was caused by us. Even though on our side we felt, man, like these family members are just being so, like, can't they understand? Like, how could they treat us like this? This is terrible. And we went through a real rough patch with some of my family. And we were like, are we even going to go back for Christmas? We don't know. Like, if we do, it's going to be terribly awkward. But God is good. There came a moment where we just had to finally say, you know what? We're not perfect in this. We need to take ownership for what we've done and just go in with humble hearts. We'll be the bigger people. We'll apologize because we care about this relationship. We care about being made right with this relationship. So God, would you help us? Would you be working in their hearts too? Just like you're working in ours. If it can happen for me, it can happen for you. If it can happen for Joseph and Mary, it can happen for you. And so, if you got a relationship in your life this morning where you know God needs to do something, God needs to do work on your heart, God needs to do work on their heart, it might actually be someone in this room. I'm not going to ask you to go and like make things right while we all watch, so don't worry about that. But it might be someone in this room. It might be the person you're sitting beside right now. I don't know. This could have been the most awkward church service you've ever just sat through because it's the person right beside you. But what I do know is that, man, God is here and he cares about the ministry of reconciliation. That's what happened 2,000 years ago as a part of the Christmas story. Making that relationship between a husband and a wife whole again. So if that's you, I'm just going to invite you to lift your hand. We're not going to judge you. I just told you, I was in that place like 3 months ago. I'm just going to invite you to lift your hand so we can pray for you. And in that, it kind of just produces it. Yeah, I'm starting to see some hands. That's great. Thank you. In that, it enables us to be able to pray for you. It already starts to expose the hurt in your own life and also produces a bit of accountability because you, as your friends might see a hand go up, maybe you can actually have a conversation with them and say, hey, like, can you check up with me? I need to deal with this. but if I don't do it in the next few days, I probably won't. So can you just check up with me like tomorrow or Tuesday? Can we go for coffee or something? If that's you. If there's any more people, I've already seen some hands. Anyone else? Yeah, see you back there. That's awesome. Great. Fantastic. Awesome. Guys and girls, it is so much, there's so much freedom when we let go. So much freedom. There's the classic saying that is like, you know, when you choose not to forgive someone, it's like you drinking poison, waiting for them to die. You know, we've all heard that probably. But it's so true. When you can finally just let it go, such a freedom. So Jesus, I pray for freedom in this place. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you convict our hearts? See if there's any ill will in our hearts towards family members, towards friends, maybe towards leaders in our lives, bosses, coworkers, God, wherever it is. God, would you just weed it out of our hearts this morning? God, if there's action to be taken on our part, if there's a tough conversation that we have to have, or we have to go humble ourselves and apologize, would you give us the strength to do it? God, I pray that this Christmas would be different, where the devil has tried to steal joy and to steal peace and to just defile those relationships in our life. God, we know that you come to reconcile those. So would you come and do that, and would you restore peace and hope and harmony as we remember this season that you came. You came and you restored relationship between them. This broken, soon to be marriage. And bigger than that, you came to reconcile all of humanity to yourself through your son Jesus. God, we're grateful for that. We thank you for that. Would you remind our hearts of that this Christmas season? That as we go, we would be grateful for the work that you've done in our lives. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for giving your life so that we could be made right with God. You're good. You're good. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, the band's going to sing us out of here as usual, but we got an important thing coming up here in a couple weeks. I don't know if you've heard of a Christmas Eve service. And this is a big thing we love to do at Northgate. And sadly, I won't be here. I'll be in Alberta. But I'm hoping they're going to live stream so I can watch it still. But we got two Christmas Eve services we're doing this year. One at 3:30 p.m. and one at 5:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve. And we got a bunch of these cards that we've had made up with our Discover Christmas theme on them. And the purpose of these is not just for you to go home and put it on your fridge as a reminder of the service times. We actually printed off a whole lot of them because we want to blow this place up. We want this place to be wall to wall, just packed, breaking fire codes and all. And we want you to invite, maybe there's some people, maybe there's a relationship that you need to go and reconcile today, and then you can give them this and say, hey, why don't you come with me to Christmas Eve service at Northgate? It's going to be a riot. So on your way out, you can grab these at the info center. I think there's going to be some people with some at the doors on your way out as well. But grab a few of them. Invite your neighbors, invite your coworkers, invite your family, invite your friends. Invite a total random stranger at the grocery store as you're picking out a small turkey in the bin. But be here on Christmas Eve. We'd love to have you join us. God bless you. Have a great week.